Oh, good. And only a few weeks ago, we had the privilege of having a team of your young people at our center for 3 days, and they did a fantastic job. And I thought this morning, as I was thinking of the fact that I was coming here, what should I share? And if any of you know anything about working with people, some of you went on a missions trip up north not so long ago as well, the same week that the team came down. You understand something, that sometimes you go somewhere and you're in the middle of something and you don't always know what to say or what to do. And it's new. And for some of the team members, this was new, that a situation that they were involved in, being in the midst of 100 some odd homeless people for 3 days, asked to do a chapel service and also serve breakfast for those 3 days, as well as sit down, engage with people on their terms. I've been, Dr. Emil asked me today how he should introduce me. And he says, do you have a doctorate? Do you have this and that? And I said, no, I have none of those things. And then he, I guess through his mind, he's probably wondering, you know, I wonder what in the world this guy's about. And then he finally says, are you the general manager? And I said, generally, I'm the manager there. I have a supervisor and team that makes me look good every day. So they give me a title on a business card that says, I'm a manager there. And I've had the blessings of being manager at Union Gospel Mission, U.S. Minister, for 21 years now. And what does that amount to? 21 years of this oddball standing in front of a bunch of odd people trying to let them know that God loves them. So I'm never, ever defined by any letters that are after my name, except if they are Crime Stoppers or something like that. But apart from that, it's just little old me, and I'm just glad to always be available to hang out. I always enjoy time with you folks as well. I had the chance to speak at your retreat a few years ago, and Pastor Samuel Lee lives only a stone throw from me, and so he's the one that has introduced me to something called Bing Su. You know what that is, don't ya? If you're a diabetic like I am, that's the lead way to the diabetic coma, which Pastor Sam allowed me to experience. As my wife said, that's the only time you go out with Pastor Sam to have Bing Su. We actually shared one, because when I saw what he had ordered, I thought, oh my word, coming to heaven today. But it was good. I won't knock you there. It was good. But I've been given orders never again to go there. So we'll have to go to Dairy Queen next time. Yes, oh well. What I want to talk to you about is something that has been on my mind, because for some reason, at the age of 63, God has asked me to hang out with young people. And that's like, you know, that's like sending me to Nordstrom's with no money. And that's not a good thing. But I've been speaking at retreats all this summer, and especially when I was supposed to be on a 2 months preaching break. Forget that. That didn't work out. But I'm meeting young people, and they're asking me and saying, like, I've been to church so long, and I do it like the people and my mom and dad who think it's good for me to go there. And when I finish going for years, I do what I'm told, and I read the Bible when I get a chance to, and I try to memorize the occasional verse, and the best verse that I always love memorizing is Jesus wept, because it's easy, and, you know. But what is this about for me in the world that I live in? So they're asking me, because they think that I can give them the A to Z answer to how to be this Christian that can knock the socks off of their friends and everything else. And the last retreat I was at, it was rather an interesting experience, because on Friday night, this always happens to speakers. Friday night, they don't know you, they don't want to talk to you, you know. The speaker comes, and all the young people sit down together, and they're all probably inside saying, I don't know. In fact, that retreat, I won't tell you which one, but at that retreat, one of the young people said, you know, when I first saw you up there, you looked so mean. I knew that, oh, this was going to be a horrible weekend, and how is it going to focus on you, because you had this frown on your face, and you looked like you were going to hurt someone. I said, wait a minute. I said, are you sure you're talking about me, or are you talking about? And, you know, it was kind of interesting, because my wife says the same thing. She says, sometimes you get up front, you don't look like you're a happy person. You look like you have this frown on your face, you know, and that life is just horrible and all that. And I kind of go, really? You know, really? And then, but Saturday night, that all changed. So I start to smile, you know. Wherever I went, I start to smile. I even had to take medication. So it's like you keep smiling all day long. You know, so that people see I'm a happy kind of go-lucky guy, you know. So that was my demise, because I didn't go to bed till 4 o'clock that morning. Because all of a sudden, these young people said, he's a nice guy. We can talk to him. So 25 young people decided to take a number and wait for me. And one after the other, I was up till 4 in the morning talking to every one of them. And I was going, this is not a good thing. Especially I have to give one more message in the Sunday morning of the retreat. And I thought to myself, why do people respond to people by the way they look, by the what maybe education they have, what money they have in their pocket? I mean, do I have to change? Do I have to change to be able to be accepted in this world and to, and then you add being a Christian on top of that whole thing, you know? How does that work every day when I go back to school, back to work? So if I was to ask you, if you could change anything about yourself, where would you start? Dangerous question. Lots of us would start on the outside, wouldn't we? Want to be skinnier? Taller? Shorter, better looking, you know? What would you like to change? Would you change your eyes, your hair, your teeth, your legs, your shape? I think we all go through this journey when we desperately want to get people to like us, accept us, make us feel we belong. Many people live in a state of constant fear that they just aren't good enough. They don't look good enough. So they start to do all kinds of strange things. They start to paint their hair purple or pink. They stick pieces of metal into their noses and in their ears. They buy blue jeans that aren't even finished yet. I noticed that. I talked to a young person yesterday. And I said, how come you didn't wait till they finish these blue jeans and then bought them? And they said, what are you talking about? This is it, man. You know? And then you go to the shoe store, and people are buying these fancy running shoes, and then they don't use the laces. I don't get that. You know, I mean, you gotta be thrifty today. You know, so we do all these things, and then you think, okay, this is being young, this is the fad, and but when we get older, we should be smarter, right? Some of us who are older, we should be smarter than that. Yes, not. We spend hours trying to find just the right dress, the right shirt. You like my shirt I'm wearing? Yeah. My daughter bought this for me at Walmart. We were at Walmart till 11 o'clock just before it closed, and I had tried on about 13 shirts, and Dad, and she kept going, no, Dad, you're so boring. Like, you got to get with it, Dad. I said, Allison, it's my birthday. I get to choose. And she kept saying to me, no, Dad, you're 63, you're old. That's your identity now. So we got to fix that, you know, Dad? And then my son does the same thing. He says, where'd you get that shirt from? Your sister bought it for me. Not a good thing, Dad. It sucks. Really? You know? I'm sorry, you know? So I have this awful everyday experience of trying to fit into my own home, never mind anywhere else. Now, I'm harping on this because I really believe that this is a big deal. Now, I'm going to go a little different here. I live in North Langley. Every morning, I drive on 88th Avenue and I pass a skate park. And that skate park looks different the last few days. Some of you might know what I'm talking about. 14-year-old boy died there. He wanted to belong. He wanted to fit in. Now, he didn't change anything, but he took something. He took a drug that killed him. Now, you know, you think I got problems just going to Walmart. Here's a young man that lost his life because he just wanted to belong. If there's anything we know about human nature, we know that people change slowly, if they change at all. And it isn't even the outside that's the challenge. It's every day dealing with the inside. And when we work at Union Gospel Mission, we don't deal and care about what that person looks like, what they're wearing, or what they don't even have in their pocket. We're concerned about the inside. So every day, all of us have a challenge. Do we want to change the inside? And I think as we, as people of God, I don't care how much money you got, and I don't give two rips about what you drive or wear or where you work. I want to know, if you tell me what you know, I don't care. I want to know how much you care. So don't tell me how much you know. Tell me how much you care and show it to me. And that's why I was so pleased to have some of the young people from this church serve with me, because when they showed up, they didn't have to dress a certain way, look a certain way. Crystal and the gang just said, we're here because we care. And then they didn't just talk about it. They showed it. The text that was read for us is a huge text, because I don't care what church you go to. I don't care how much Bible reading you do. I want to know if you are someone that is connected with Jesus. And every day, I think each of us has to start there. We have to start there. Because if we're not different in Jesus, and our identity is not in Christ, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Then you're all the best, at best, you're religious. So there's a world out there that needs to know that you people are different, and that you care, and that you are changed in Him. And that's a daily battle every day. Every day. So my challenge is going to be for you this morning as simple as this. From here on in, each day you get up in the morning, have you put your foot on the ground, understanding who you are and that you need to change some things? You will change them, not on your own strength, but with the help of Jesus Christ. Change is hard. You go to any bookstore and you'll see walls of self-help books. I was in Indigo the other day, and I couldn't believe the beautiful setup they have in there. And then, of course, they throw in the Starbucks coffee shops on top of that, right? To make it kind of palatable, right? So you can have coffee while you're reading the book that you're supposed to buy, but you're wasting everybody's time because you're reading the book and whatever, right? But the whole point is, everyone's got something to tell you about change. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is about transformation. I'm all for Bible knowledge. I'm all for memorizing Bible verses. But those alone will not save us, and they will not certainly change us, because we need to be connected to Jesus Christ. You've got a lot of things that people know you for. You go to a building. You sing songs. You give offering. You're nice to each other most of the time, except for church business meetings. But anyways, apart from that, you have this thing you do here. But what you do here, do you do there, outside? Long-held habits can be changed, but some of them will not happen overnight. Patterns of sin can be broken, but it will take more than a quick prayer at the end of a worship service. You see, significant spiritual growth in your life does not come without a cost. As long as your life is going well, you might say, but why should I change? Living together in a close community every day where people know you, they see you, that's okay. But sooner or later, they're going to be seeing cracks in your life, in your armor, and they're going to ask, well, what makes that person tick? Why did Josh do that? Why did Enoch say that? They are watching every day what you do and say. There's just two things I wanted to share with you, if I may, this morning that will hopefully help us, because I don't want to make this complicated. But I want to do is challenge you to understand that when you get up in the morning and you leave to go wherever you go, that it's on the line. You must make a decision. The biggest decision you'll ever make is making a decision on what you will allow people to see God doing in your life. The first thing I want to just encourage you about this, something that I want to identify, is we must be transfigured on the inside. We've got to be changed on the inside. The word transfigured, the Greek word is related to the English word metamorphosis, okay? So you of you in biology and some of our doctors here, they'll love that word, metamorphosis. And maybe you will recall from grade 7, a science class, that metamorphosis is the process by which this little bug called a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, and a tadpole becomes a frog. It's a gradual change on the inside that produces a total transformation on the outside. So the word means to be changed, transformed from one thing to another. Consider what happens when a caterpillar enters the cocoon only to emerge as a butterfly. So please don't step on caterpillars, okay? Don't care how angry you are at them, please don't step on them. The caterpillar doesn't change its basic nature. Metamorphosis reveals what was always there in the genes of the caterpillar. Caterpillars can't fly. I haven't seen one recently anyways. But they were born to fly, though. So how do you solve this mystery? Metamorphosis. You were born as a human being. You were born, and you were born to be more than just who you are now. That's the exciting thing about the Christian walk. You were born to be more than just when you showed up as a little baby. And every day, God wants you to be more, because he's got something at the top of the day of your journey that he wants you to be, because it's not going to be for your sake. Blue jeans that aren't finished, running shoes without laces. It's not about the car you drive. It's not about the money in your pocket. It's not about what you get to eat and enjoy in this beautiful free country of Canada. It's about what the kingdom of God is going to want from you, because you say, yes, I get it. I want to change. I want to change every day, if that's what it takes. The butterfly and the caterpillar, they're the same creature. So when the caterpillar enters the cocoon, enters that part of the insect that resides on the inside, it's allowed to be manifested as a butterfly on the outside. Because that's what God always intended it to be. All of us are works in progress. We're not finished. We're not glorified. We're not perfected. We're not completed. I always know that, because one person in my life reminds me of that. Some of you may know who that person is too. Some of you married one. My wife is a good reminder to me that I'm not perfect. I remember she said to me one day after I came back from church, and she said, "Wow, that was a beautiful sermon you preached. Powerful. Wow, you got everyone sitting on there." And then she said, "You may think that everyone thinks that you're the next thing to God, but when we get home, I know what you're really like." I said, "Yes, dear." I had a spirit of humility at that point and submission. Transformation comes when one is dependent upon the Spirit of God and surrendered to him. And I'm 63, as I reluctantly told you, but every day things look different for me. Every day I'm at this part of life, kind of sliding this way. A lot of you young people are climbing this rock mountain and face trying to get to here. And then this rest of us are wavering, flying on a kite, just kind of, yeah. So we found a new way to do it. We buy a drone. But anyways, that's another issue. But the thing is that we are all in different doors of life, but we all face the same challenge. Doesn't matter which shape you're going in or which height you're going in. We're all under construction. Have you ever visited a construction zone? If you ever have, you know that it's noisy and it looks messy. And while the hammering and sawing continues, it's hard to imagine what the final result will be. But God never stops working on us because there's so much work that needs to be done. Transformation comes when one is dependent upon the Spirit of God. And when this takes place, we begin to look on other people as persons with real needs because they're just like us, aren't they? And I am sure that at least the team that was with me at UGM, I'm sure Crystal and the other gang could tell you, the two Joshes as well. One was called Josh, one was called Joshua. That was the only way we could separate them. They started to share what they were seeing in other people that maybe they never, ever thought about before. And it was encouraging to sit there and listen to them. And then they met this one guy named Randy. Randy is a story of transformation. I usually bring him with me, but then I can't preach, so I said I leave him at the mission. But anyways, if you were to meet this fellow, you'd be amazed that his first 10 years at the mission was all about proving the Bible was wrong. That was his mission. And then someone told him, well, since you're such an expert in the Bible, have you ever read it? He said, no. Well, then you should read it. And then you can tell us what you know about it and what's wrong with it. So he says, you've got a deal. So he took the next year and he started to read it with that whole intention of proving that we were wrong. Well, along the way, he kept running into this Japanese girl named Edith, who's my supervisor. And Edith would always sit down, you know, irrespective of Randy's attitude, how are you doing, Randy? You know, how are things going? We want you to know we love you and we care about you. And of course, Randy kept saying, yeah, I get the religion Christian rhetoric. But just like God takes a caterpillar, God started poking holes at him and poking him in the night and saying, you know, and Randy started saying, oh, this kind of makes sense. Wow. Wow. You see, because it's not about you and me fixing him. It's about the fact that God allowed us to be able to be in front of him, suggesting that, hey, it's very possible to have something called hope. And that's what our staff do every day, is to just tell people that there is hope. And it's not necessarily about getting them a place to live or feeding them or getting them a job. It's not that. Sometimes it's just giving them a reason to get up in the morning to come back tomorrow. Crystal and the team that were there were the reason why a lot of those people got up the next morning to come back to Union Gospel Mission, because they believed that at least they would talk to them and at least care about them and love them. And there was reason to get up. And yes, we have some people who don't choose to get up. And we hear that they've passed away because they felt it was hopeless. But you can't come into a place where I serve every day and not be connected to God to impact the lives of others. If you haven't changed in the name of Jesus Christ, and you haven't transformed, and you don't bring yourself honestly to the table, you won't impact those people because they won't see what they need from God. We must change on the inside. The second thing is this. We must reprogram our minds. Boy, this is the big one. The scripture says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Wow, what happens up here? What is going on up here, if anything? There are times we view the spiritual life in purely emotional terms. If we can only feel the presence of God, then we know we're moving in the right direction. Well, as important as feelings are, and they do matter greatly, Paul here says we need to renew our minds. How do we get that mind renewed as what Paul speaks of in Romans chapter 12, verse 2? The answer is actually simple, but it takes a lifetime of effort. Believe you me, it takes a lifetime of effort. Every day, you've got to guard this. You've got to guard it very carefully. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence. When I say the heart, you're going to say, well, you said the mind. The heart is the limbic system. Blink up here. That's where all the experiences happen. This is prefrontal cortex, correct? Thank you, doctor. So, got to check with the experts. Anyways, you know, This is where the library is. This is where you put all the facts in and all the, it's like a library. But when this limbic system starts taking place, and that's what's referred to as the heart in Scripture, then you start to feel things and you start to feel scared, but you feel something's good. And that's where the heart of how people relate to others starts. And when this gets going, guess what happens? It even overcomes the library. Because this is just material, this is just information, but this is where you're at. This is what you're experiencing, right? And that's why Paul says, we got to make sure this is in check. So, how do you do that? Saturate yourself in godly thinking. You must be intentional about this. Be careful what you read, what you listen to. Be careful what you're always seeing, what you're allowing, and that can involve a lot of what your entertainment is like, what you're reading. Saturate yourself with godly thinking. Well, where do you find that immediate source? This beautiful book, 66 chapters of revelation that God's given us. It's called truth. I don't see much truth anywhere else in this world. Doesn't seem like there is any. Well, there's lots of situational ethics, but there's not a lot of truth. I find it here. So you can ask yourself where you're at now. What are you allowing to go in here? This? I'm not asking you to go home and take Bible courses and all that kind of stuff. I'm just asking you to think about what you're allowing in here. That's going to determine. You know, the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Very true. Well, I also encourage you, if you do believe in this book, and you believe that God has given it to us, then you should try to memorize some of it. Yeah, no, not Bible memory. I did that when I was in Awana. I did that when I was a kid. Yeah, I don't care when you did or didn't do it. It doesn't change anything. But stays in there is going to direct your path. That's what determines where your feet go and what your hands do. But also, let me just give you some encouragement. Slow down. Come on, slow down. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still. And then what does it say? And know that I'm God. I love those verses. It says, in order to know God, you got to be still. You got to slow down. Now, I can be accused of being a hypocrite because I'm not one that slows down. So I know that's why old age is a good thing for me, because God is taking over now and saying, since you don't want to slow down, I'm going to make it happen. So we're going to make it go over. And that's what's happening for me. I've got to slow down. I know that. I can't go at the pace I used to go. But you know something? It doesn't matter what age you are. In order to think things through, you've got to slow down. Now, I got to be careful because my daughter would hold me accountable. I mean, she got her master's of counseling in this May. But before she got that, she did a lot of studies, just like good students like some of you are in terms of schooling. And we have a different way of studying. I cannot study in noise. I have tried it. I've tried to sit in food courts with a whole bunch of younger people, and I've tried to understand how these young people actually retain anything besides food. I mean, they can do two things. They can eat all as well, you know. And they sit there with their laptops and computers or whatever mechanical gizmo they got in front of them, and they actually are trying to retain information that will probably affect their future if they can graduate and pass exams. So my daughter is one of these creatures. So I'm at home, and it's kind of, dum, 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 you know, and I'm going, I'm asking my wife, guess our daughter's home, right? Yeah, can't you hear? Yes, okay. And she's studying. She's got these things on her head. They're called, you know, and I call them technical earmuffs. But anyways, the technological earmuffs. But she's got something going on in there that's not studies. It's just kind of, I just hear boom, boom, boom. So, okay, it's whatever. So then her marks come out. 99.2%. And I'm going, Allison, if I got 59.2%, it would be a stat holiday for me if I did an exam. If I got that. She says, it's not good enough, Dad. 99.2, that really sucks. I said, no, wait. What do you mean 99.2 sucks? She says, it should be 99.8%. I said, I know that you were created Asian, but you can't be that Asian, you know? My mom, of course, my wife says, just back off. If that's the way it works for her, leave her alone. I still believe we need to be still. I guess her definition of being still is she's just sitting in one place and it still is okay, you know? But I think that sometimes we have to slow down. I find the most busiest people, some of the most hardest people to get to talk to about anything. And they meet, and lots of them are called pastors. Yeah, those guys. Those guys that we heap more pressure on to say, gotta deliver every Sunday, you know? Deliver the steak every Sunday, right? But they gotta slow down too. Well, I wanna bring us to a little bit of a conclusion on this. My sermon wasn't heavy theological today. I can do theological sermons, but today isn't one of them. Because in my heart, I thought to myself, unless we get this down, our theology is going to be all over the place. And that will, it'll look like biology and everything else. Sometimes our Christianity looks like that. Looks like something we had to take as an elective at school. You know? Yeah, we can fit that in. You know? And I really want to encourage you that your living for Jesus doesn't begin at having to do A to Z and do the performance. We've got to get our relationship in order with God. Because when I talk to people who don't go to church, I ask them, if I invite you to my church, why would you come? They said, no way. I said, well, what, can I ask you why? Because I don't want to have to tell when to stand and when to sit and when to sing. I don't want to be asked for money. I don't want to have to be able to get this book called the Bible and know it by next week. I said, whoa. I said, okay, hang on. I said, hang on. So what you're telling me is you're concerned about what's expected you when you get there and what you need to do. But how about the people? Well, that's the other problem. Because I hear they don't care. I hear they're a bunch of hypocrites. I hear they stick together and don't care about, and all they'll do is make me feel ashamed and guilty. Ah. So that's how you view the church. Have you ever been in one? No. Would you like to come to mine? No. Okay. Do you want to hang out then once a month for coffee? That I can do as long as you buy. Gotcha. You see what he's saying? He's not talking about God. He's talking about the need for a relationship with someone who truly cares. Someone that's what we call real. Someone that will take the time on their turf to meet with them. My phone is at least busy 2-3 times a week from people that don't have church background. And they call me and they say, is this Bill Wong here? Yeah, it's me. Who is this? I'm kind of wondering who this person is calling me. They said, well, I heard that you will talk to people. I said, yeah, I've been known to talk a lot. Yeah, and they said, can you meet me somewhere at Starbucks and anywhere you live? And we just talk. Well, I said, well, who are you? Well, you'll find out when you meet me. I said, okay, I'm okay with that. Sure, you know, as long as you're not packing a gun, I'm fine. You know, we're good, you know. So he said, no, I have a friend of mine that goes to church, and he said that you would talk to me. So I can I ask you what's wrong? He said, can I ask you why you want to talk to me? You don't even know who I am. He says, I am so stressed in life, I am contemplating killing myself. Would you talk to me? So I said, who's this friend? He says you are his mentor. I said, well, okay, that's scary too, but who is this person, right? So he tells me who it is. I go, oh, okay, I understand. What is your relationship to this young fella? I'm his boss. Oh. He said, can we meet today? I said, well, maybe tomorrow. Okay, done. So, you see, it's not because I'm anything special. It's because people are looking for relationships with people who are real. I got a surprise for that person. I don't know how real they won't want me to get, but all I'm saying is that, hey, sorry, bad news. School's in 3 weeks. Sorry, I had to bring that up. For some of you, got to go back to work as well. But doesn't matter. That's part of the journey. Are you willing to connect with people? Please, Lord, help me to change. Maybe I got to change something so that can happen. Because there are people out there that are extremely hurting. My neighbor came to me and said, Bill, did you hear about that 14-year-old kid that got killed? I said, I just heard about it. He said, do you know who he is? I said, no, he's not there. That's where my kids went to school. That's where my kids went to high school. And I thought, that's right down the block from where I live. So commitment to being a living sacrifice is a commitment to change. Okay? Are you committed to change? Maybe you haven't changed much. Maybe you need to look at, what do I need to change? My thinking, my values, my motives, my methods. It's not a minor repair, but a tearing down and complete rebuild. The change is not lip service to God. I got to be at that church. I got to vote at the deacon's meeting again. It's a decision to act on surrendering to God to make it happen. The second thing I want to leave with you is becoming a living sacrifice is the commitment to being changed. First is to say, I want to change. The second one is to say, yeah, I am open to being changed. They're two different things, but they're two steps. It is not we who change ourselves. As I've always said many times in different places, the only thing I can change is my underwear and socks. But I can't change me because in the final analysis, our thinking is going to be shaped by something or someone outside of ourselves. And to me, that's Jesus Christ. In our sin and unbelief, we are constantly thinking like Satan and like the fallen world system in which we live. All you got to do is turn the news on, read the newspaper, and you're locked into your world. Or is that where you're going to leave it? Is that where you're going to survive in? I've given up surviving. I will not survive in this world if I'm a Christian. Because there's two other people that are doing the same thing, and I need to help them not survive, but to live. And when we give our lives to God, we give ourselves over to his influence and control. When we turn to God in obedience, we turn away from the world's shaping influence on us. The end of result of our sacrificial offering and of the transformation of our lives will result in the renewing of our minds. And then we will prove out the will of God. Then people will see the will of God. They will see that you and I have a reason. My son always, he's a little bit of a, you know, he's not necessarily Mr. Christian these days. You know, he works at RBC. He's a private banker. His clientele are the hockey players in the National Hockey League. Okay, so what does he need Jesus for? And that's a conversation him and I have a lot of. And then now he says to me, Dad, where are you going today? He said, this morning, I'm going out to speak at Lord's Grace Church. Going out to save the world again, eh, Dad? I said, no, Tim, I can't save the world. I got enough problems with me. But I'm going to be out there doing what he wants me to do because that's what he wants me to do. The will of God refers to his complete will for his creation for now and eternity. What does it take? Here's the verse that you all know, or you should know. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord. You got to trust in the Lord with all your heart, not just 99.2% of it. And lean not on your own understanding, because this world, frankly, folks, doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense to me either. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Well, my news to you is for me today, that's going to have to be my job again, all over again today, is to trust in the Lord today. That's not just a one-shot, one-time, one-off deal. It's an everyday challenge. If I am going to do the will of God, and when I say, Lord, please, Lord, change me. Let's pray. Father, your message to us is not difficult. We don't need to color it. We don't have to restructure it. We don't have to say it in such a way that it's pleasing to everyone's ears, because so often what you give us really makes us really uncomfortable, and it makes us squirm, and it makes us have to review who we think we are. But the good news of it is this, that we don't have an identity crisis. We are not about our culture. We're not about what we drive, not about what we do at work, not about what we study. We are about you, because you have created us to be your children. And because of that alone, We now know why we are here. But you give us all the wonderful places to be where I can't be. For many of these people, whether it be their work, their place of their favorite restaurant, or whatever, their study, and their families, we all have our place to do it. But may we do it faithfully, whatever we can each day. We can't change the world, but maybe we can change our priorities and how we care. In your name we pray. Amen.